This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Inside Music. I'm your host, George Mariner Mole, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra, where we believe the more musical detail we notice, the more pleasure we receive from listening. Inside Music is made possible by Glenn Mead, an independent trust company providing investment and wealth management services with offices in Princeton, Morristown, and Philadelphia. Welcome to this evening's episode, Pedal Point City. Ah, yes, perhaps the most famous pedal point ever composed, known by millions and millions of people worldwide. But in case you didn't recognize this pedal point, let's put it in context. There we go, the opening of the Toccata and Fugue in D minor by Johann Sebastian Bach. Sound familiar? I thought about calling this show My Favorite Pedal Points, but the more eccentric side of my personality won the day, and so here we find ourselves in Pedal Point City. Even though I'd enjoyed listening to the harmonic device known as pedal point from probably fourth grade, maybe even earlier, I did not know what this musical effect was called until eighth grade, when I met the person who would become my piano teacher and ultimately my mentor, Dr. Saul Feinberg. It was he who enlightened me, although he would, as I would, be the first to say that the name given to an experience is never as important as the experience itself. So what is a pedal point? For those of you who listened to the first pilot episode of Inside Music, entitled A Little Bach Music, the following explanation will be old information, so please bear with me. A pedal point is musically created when one single pitch is sustained while other harmonies are played around it. And how did this harmonic device get its name? It was used by composers for many centuries, but the term pedal point derives from composers who were also church organists, like Bach. Picture the console of a church organ. There are at least two manuals or keyboards for the hands, sometimes more. But there is also a keyboard for the feet, the pedal keyboard.
These organist composers realized that they could create a lot of emotional tension by holding down one of the pedal keys and then playing sounds above it with their hands, some of which fit with the pedal point, and some of which did not. And when they got to those pitches that did not fit, they had a whole lot of dissonance going on, creating emotional tension in their listeners. And the way to release that tension was, of course, to resolve to a chord that fit the pedal point.
I've spoken in previous episodes about the fact that composers intentionally cause listeners to become tense. Why do they do this? Because they plan to release that tension. And composers know that will feel good. We're dealing here with one of the most basic experiences in human existence, the building up and release of tension. If you're not driving, clench your fists with me now as tightly as you can as I count 1, 2, 3, 4. Now let them relax. Doesn't that feel good? Experiencing the release of physical tension is one thing, but we are complex creatures who can also accumulate mental and emotional tension within us. So, if we want to think about the therapeutic side of music listening, the idea that composers would provide us with mechanisms for releasing emotional tension is probably a very good thing. And composers have many musical tools at their disposal to accomplish this, which is why listening to a movement from a sonata, concerto, or symphony can often be such a cathartic experience. Let's go back to our first pedal point example. We'll start the music, and when Bach gives us the D natural, I'll sing along so that the pedal point is affirmed. Did you enjoy, I hope that's the operative word, those wonderful dissonances clashing with my D natural and the release of tension that accompanied the move to a very satisfying D major chord? Why not sing along with me wherever you are, and sing loudly. If you run out of breath, take a quick one and come back in. Experience pedal point from a performer's perspective. Pedal point, as a harmonic device for creating and releasing emotional tension, rapidly made its way out of church and into the concert hall, showing up in concertos, sonatas, and eventually in symphonies. One of my favorite symphonic pedal points begins the first symphony of Johannes Brahms. In the introduction, the contrabassoon, contrabasses, and the timpani all pound out repeated C naturals, the pedal point. Bom, 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 bom. While French horns sustain C natural. Meanwhile, the first violins go screaming into the stratosphere above them as woodwinds play harmonies that periodically clash with the C natural. Brahms releases the tension, not by moving to a chord that contains the pedal point, as Bach did in the previous example, but by resolving to a new chord altogether, a G major chord. This short passage gets so intense so quickly that I almost can't bear it. Well, pedal points are not always as intense as those 39 seconds. I noted in the first pilot episode of Inside Music that there is typically a pedal point near the end of most fugues. Here is an example. In the Bach Brandenburg Concerto No. 4, we find this pedal point in the third movement. Did you notice the cellos and basses sustaining their G natural? In my episode, One Good Fugue Deserves Another, we looked into the details of the fugue in Handel's Concerto Grosso, Opus 6, Number 7. But I chose not to emphasize its pedal point, so here's just a little bit of music. Handel sneaks his pedal point in, and it's very short, right at the end of his fugue. We'll start the music before the pedal point kicks in on F natural. Da 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 da. How satisfying is that, even though it's so brief? As usual, I want to emphasize that we must really listen to music, and not just hear it as background while we do or think about other things, if we are going to fully enjoy pedal points or any other details in the music. When a pedal point is high, as opposed to low, in the bass register of the music, it's sometimes referred to as an inverted pedal point. To illustrate this, I'd like to jump back into the symphonic repertoire using the finale of the Symphony No. 5 by Dmitri Shostakovich. He makes use of several inverted pedal points as we approach the conclusion of the symphony, but at a certain moment, the strings, woodwinds, and piano ascend until they reach a high A natural. They hang on to this high inverted pedal point as brass play chords, some of which dissonantly clash with the strings, until the brass make a final landing on a D major chord. Just before the end, the composer cuts off the inverted pedal point and the brass, leaving only the timpani to lead the full orchestra to a powerful unison D natural. The effect is positively earth-shattering. Even Claude Debussy liked to write pedal points. See if you recognize the composition from this short example. Yes, it's Clair de Lune, which has several little quasi-pedal point events like that in it. Here's a bit of Clair de Lune from the beginning. Be listening for them. Thank you. Here's another biggie. At the conclusion of his Firebird suite, Igor Stravinsky also makes use of a pedal point. He actually spreads the pedal point on B natural throughout his orchestra so that it is occurring in low, high, and mid-range simultaneously. I can't quite do that on the piano, but the passage sounds like this. Passage has all the classic hallmarks of pedal points, harmonies that fit with the pedal point, clash against it, and then resolve to a chord containing the pedal point, in this case, a huge B major chord. The music will start just a little before the pedal point. Be listening for it to begin. Raise an eyebrow or your hand to signify that you detect the pedal point. In case you're just joining us, I'm George Mariner Moll, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra and your host for Inside Music. In this episode, we're exploring favored pedal points of mine. And perhaps one of the most moving pedal points I know comes from the composer with whom we started this program, Johann Sebastian Bach, in the third movement of his A minor violin concerto. Before we get to the third movement, let's remind ourselves of what occurs in movements 1 and 2. Here's just a minute of movement 1, with German violinist Julia Fischer leading the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields as she plays the solo part. Speaking of pedal points, movement 2 starts on and keeps returning to this very reassuring pedal point on C natural. Da, 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 da. And it's a good thing Bach gives us such a reassuring second movement, for he's about to unleash on us a torrent of pain in movement 3. From time to time, we all have our own real-life stimuli for feeling emotionally pained or vexed, even to the point of tears. For me, at the moment, it's the recent deaths of some friends. To give expression to such a feeling state, Bach inserts a pedal point on E natural that cuts like a knife and moves us greatly. The movement gets off to a start with the initial statement of the ritornello, that musical idea that will keep returning after intervening solo material. Later in the movement, Bach brings the music to a temporary standstill as the ensemble and soloist land on an E dominant seventh chord, providing the soloist with an opportunity to play a brief cadenza or flourish. After the cello restarts the forward motion, we proceed toward this incredible pedal point on E natural. Dun da 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 dun da. Listen now. See if you can detect when it starts and ends. Again, if you're not driving, raise a hand or finger when you find it. Here are all 17 seconds of this devastating moment in isolation. The effect of this pedal point is powerful and indeed cathartic. I'm hoping in the future you'll be listening for pedal points in all the music you encounter, not for the sake of naming this harmonic device, but for the sake of experiencing these incredible events. We'll end this episode with a complete playthrough of Movement 3. Be listening again for the dominant seventh chord about 2 minutes in, and then be waiting for that pedal point to commence. It may not bring back our loved ones, but it certainly gives expression to how we feel about the loss. This has been Inside Music. I'm your host, George Mariner Moll, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra. The producer is David Ozenberg. The Discovery Orchestra's Emmy-nominated educational concerts for American Public Television are available on Amazon.com and may be streamed free of charge by Amazon Prime members. For more information about the Discovery Orchestra, visit our website at discoveryorchestra.org. Inside Music is made possible by Glenn Mead, an independent trust company providing investment and wealth management services with offices in Princeton, Morristown, and Philadelphia. Inside Music episodes can be heard as webcasts at wwfm.org by selecting About Us and then Our Programs, A to Z. Inside Music is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and wwfm.org. Tune in for our next episode, A Belated Valentine. Thanks so much for being with us. This is George Mariner Moll reminding you to listen better.